Welcome to Crunch Time with Sizz and Moolah.
Crunch Time, presented by White Teeth. Brush your teeth so you can bite. We'd like to give a couple shout-outs to a couple people that followed us on Twitter. We just created Twitter.
Not just people that followed us, people that actually shouted us out on their individual accounts. So
Joey Zanardi and Wyatt Raybach, nice job. Thanks for the support.
We appreciate our fans a lot here at Crunch Time, so thank you.
All right, says we got a lot of cover. This kind of month and time of the year is always the hardest to cover because we got MLB playoffs, college and NFL, Premier League starting, and the NBA. So we'll not talk about Kyle football for the first time on Crunch Time. There's just not enough time.
They gave up
500 yards of offense, and that's all we need to know.
Matt, you know, pointing out the obvious with a bad team does not make you a good sports analysis. It does not make you good at analyzing sports. So.
Well, Cal's pretty bad.
I just said, the Warriors won 2 out of 3 titles. It doesn't make me an expert at sports. So.
Well, Cal still sucks. as we're joined by special guest Nate White to talk about MLB playoffs. Nate, what are your predictions for the MLB playoffs?
Playoffs, I got my D-backs going far versus the Indians, them winning it all in the championship World Series.
I agree. The D-backs, I think, can be led by Greinke. Their bullpen's really good. J.D. Martinez is about as good as it gets since he's been traded to the Diamondbacks, as well as I think the Houston Astros are really good. And what a feel-good story after that, after Hurricane Offer Harvey. So you think the D-backs are going to beat the Dodgers?
They've won 10 out of the eight games, or 18 games this year, and
careful, mate.
And I don't see the Dodgers pulling through. They're not as hot as they were earlier on in the season, and the D-backs are looking pretty good right now.
Keep in mind the D-backs have won the last 4 games against the Dodgers this series. Are the Yankees legit contenders? They just beat the Twins last night.
I'm gonna have to go with a no. Yes, they have a lot of momentum right now. You know, they have a great bullpen. It's deep, but they are a young team. And they don't have a lot of good starting pitching, and you know I think that's really essential to making a long run.
Yeah, I would agree. How good has Verlander been for the Astros?
I mean, who would have known? Like,
I can tell you that I wouldn't have.
He wasn't himself as much toward the end in Detroit, but I mean, once he was traded to Houston, I mean, he's really made a great impact.
Yeah. I think for the MLB playoffs, I think the issue is the Cubs don't have a whole lot of momentum, and I think the Nationals are not that good any either. Keep in mind they did just get back Bryce Harper, one of the league's best players. Giants.
Yikes.
Yeah, they just – well, Paulo Sandoval just want to throw out a couple stats, and we'll talk about more of the offseason when it gets there, but – Pablo Sandoval just cost the Giants $6 million in bonus pool money and cost them the number one pick. But it was a feel-good moment. Keep in mind the Giants do have the second pick this year. As we go on to college football, Sizz, is the SEC a dead conference? We talked about this
in
week 1.
The SEC is a they're like a I don't know how to put it. Everyone in that conference is either really good or really bad, which is why Alabama looks so good, because they're really not playing that high-level of competition. You see, when they played Ole Miss, Ole Miss has a very good legacy of being a good football team, but they basically were showing like almost no effort against Bama. There was a pick six, and the receiver who was the intended target literally just stood there. He stood still as the guy returned it back for a touchdown. So I'm really lacking respect for Ole Miss. I think if it wasn't for their legacy and their previous image, that they would be a completely irrelevant team in the country, and they kind of are.
There's no power conference this year. ACC has 5 teams in the top 25. All the other power 5 conferences have 4 teams in the top 25. Says, why isn't Clemson ahead of Alabama? They've beaten about as good a schedule as it has.
I think that it just comes down to seeing the talent across the board for Bama, like seeing the players that they have coming back from last year who have even further proven themselves than the guys from Clemson. I think that that's why. And Clemson just doesn't – they aren't as physically dominant as Bama, I think. I like Clemson more, don't get me wrong, but you have to respect – the legacy that Bama has and the power that they have.
I think Alabama's talent is good, but a team that beats Virginia Tech, they beat Louisville, they beat Auburn,
true.
They beat Boston College by a lot. They have to be number one. I mean, Ole Miss, they haven't beaten anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Ole Miss, Alabama, sorry.
I completely see that, and I'd like to see Alabama go to two because, you know, no one really likes Bama.
What's the difference between the SEC and the Pac-12, though?
That's a great question, but here's the difference. The Pac-12 is better, okay? That's the main difference there. You see the Pac-12, at least half of the teams in the Pac-12 are going to have a winning record and are going to be a very solid football team, from Stanford to USC to Washington State to Washington to Oregon to even to, like, Colorado. You see that there's that much talent in the Pac-12, and although there isn't one team as dominant as an SEC tournament, SEC team or an ACC team, they're definitely deeper.
I think you have to look at the athletes. The SEC has the greatest athletes they can get.
True,
they have the greatest athletes. I think the quarterbacks in the Pac-12 are much better.
I agree.
And I think the Pac-12 does deserve a little more respect, but the athletes in the SEC are unreal, regardless of how good the team is.
That's true, and the coaches in the SEC probably have been there longer and have more experience than the coaches in the Pac-12. You kind of see, for example, at Oregon, you see how their recruitment doesn't really change. They're still getting really high recruits, but their coach is brand new, and that still makes their team really great. By the way, speaking of Oregon, Justin Herbert out 4 to 6 weeks. How do you see Oregon doing after that?
Still pretty good. Still pretty good. I like Oregon. They're fast. They're not gonna be in the top 25, I don't think, but they'll definitely go a bowl game, and I think they'll
give them a bright future for next season, but after Herbert's back.
Their win against Nebraska is not look very good. Nebraska's flat out awful this week.
No.
Bryce Love, keep in mind, had over 1,100 yards in 5 games. One of 5 running backs ever to do that. He's a legit Heisman contender, I think.
I think he should be. I'd like to see that. However, I'd be willing to bet he won't win it because of the games his team has lost.
I still think, though, that if he produces...
If he sustains this level of play, yes, he has a shot.
Okay. I just don't think running backs get blamed for losing games. I think quarterbacks do.
Still. I keep on saying so just disregard that, guys. Bryce Love, he's great. But he's not quite as good as Christian McCaffrey was at Stanford, I think. And McCaffrey still couldn't do enough to win on a better team with probably lower competition for the Heisman that year than there is this year. So that's why I don't see Bryce Love winning. If he gets over 200 yards for the rest of the season, if he averages above 200, then yeah, he'll be a top 5 contender.
Going to the NFL, the Patriots lose again to the Carolina Panthers. Is it concerning? The Patriots, for the first time this year, do not have the highest Super Bowl odds. Steelers have the highest odds, then the Patriots and the Broncos. How much of a concern is the Patriots' loss?
I think that the Patriots, as much as I'd like to say they're concerned, I really think by the end of the season they're still going to be the Super Bowl favorites. I don't want them to be, don't get me wrong. Like, I hate watching them play because they're just so consistent and good, and they're not very flashy. They just get the job done. But the fact that they lost to the Panthers behind a struggling quarterback... Cam did well this week. Before that, he was struggling a lot.
Cam's running the ball this, and
he needs to keep running the ball too.
Yeah.
As he's gotten older, he's ran the ball less, and that makes his game more one-dimensional, which kind of sets him back.
And he's not a great pocket passer.
Yeah, he's not. He's not. He's better than he was when he came into the league, but he shouldn't utilize that as his first talent because what makes him unique is his ability to rush.
Opponents are averaging over 400 yards against the Patriots. I just don't think their defense is that good. They've won with bad defenses, but you can kind of see how Aaron Rodgers now feels, just a really bad defense. What about the Broncos, moving on? They faced Melvin Gordon, Zeke, Shady McCoy, and Beast Mode. One of the greatest, 4 great running backs. These running backs have averaged 50 carries, 95 yards, 0 touchdowns combined. Can the Broncos win with a consistent offense?
Well, Matt, you look at the Broncos, and they're the polar opposite of the Patriots, essentially. You see that they have a dominant defense and an offense that gets the job done. The Patriots, at their best, have had a great offense. They've pretty much always had a great offense for the last decade, and they've had a defense that gets the job done. So if CJ Anderson keeps on playing well, Trevor Siemian avoids throwing a bunch of picks and...
Which he's done this year, and that's
and
why
they're so
well.
Sustains his role as a successful game manager, I think that they can definitely make a Super Bowl run. However, I don't think that they're better than the Raiders at their best.
I got the Broncos winning the AFC West over the Raiders. I got Chiefs coming in second, Raiders coming in third. I
forgot about the Chiefs.
Yeah,
I think the Chiefs are – I don't get why the Chiefs aren't the Super Bowl favorites.
That's what I was wondering. Chiefs are the only undefeated team, and they're not even the top three.
The Steelers lost to the – The Steelers lost to the Bears. How the heck are they the Super Bowl favorites?
Yeah, and the Chiefs are 4-0. Going on,
Alex Smith looks like an MVP candidate. I can't believe I'm saying that.
He's thrown the deep ball successfully,
which has always been his biggest flaw. So
I love seeing Alex Smith do well. Lions, are the Lions better than the Packers?
No.
I disagree, dude. The Lions can run the ball. Amir Abdullah is just awesome now.
Okay, they may look better on paper right now, but it's so Aaron Rodgers to look bad at the beginning of the season and then to peak at the end of the season.
Sure, Packers do have a lot of injuries.
I just see the Lions messing it. A team that's never hasn't won a playoff game in a long time. Matt Stafford's great, but without Matt Stafford, that team really fuels the rest of their team. He keeps their defense off the field. He makes their offense explosive. They really don't have that many dominant players on offense. They have a pretty bad running game, I think, and that kind of ruins it for me. I think that the Packers have found a way to get it done for a lot of years, and they have more experience in that area, so they'll figure it out.
Raiders lose again. Carr's out 2 to 6 weeks. The Raiders cannot run the ball. Cooper's dropping too many passes. O-line's not that good. Secondary, I think the secondary is still bad. They're young and inexperienced, but I think they're doing well.
And they're missing Gary and Conley this week, and he's been playing well.
That's true. So we'll see. We'll see. Next question, are the Falcons overrated? They're 3-1.
I think that the Falcons – I think what's on everyone's mind about the Falcons right now is that they're overrated. However – they were missing Julio this week. Did they lose or win this week, Matt?
They lost this week. They lost Julio, Sano, and Beasley roll out.
Okay, and who'd they play?
Lions.
Lions, okay. So Lions are a team that's hot. The Falcons are a team that are trying to sustain a high level of play.
They're 3-1 this year, keep in mind. But here's the thing with the Falcons, though. They're a drop pass away from the Bears and a fumble recovery away from being 1-3.
True.
So when Beasley goes down and you play that man-to-man defense, and Beasley's their best pass rusher, it's tough to
yeah,
win.
No, honestly, I think I'd love to see the Falcons play at a high – or they are playing at a high level. I'd love to see them go to that elite level and become a Super Bowl contender again, because I think they got robbed in the last Super Bowl.
Keep in mind, Carolina, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay are in their conference, and they're not doing very well. All of them are about 2-2, or either 3-1, so there's still lots of open time to do well. Moving on to college basketball.
This is messy.
Scandal. We're going to keep it brief for now. Why is the FBI involved?
Why is the FBI? Okay, what I don't get, Matt, is how this all came out at once.
There's so many unanswered questions, and I think they're building up a case, and what's going to happen is that they're going to take down the assistant coaches right now, and they're going to try to get the assistant coaches to rat on the head coaches.
Yeah.
And that's going to take down the program. But are they going after the shoe companies? Like, who's the big fish? Head coaches or the?
I think the head coaches would probably be, or maybe even the athletic directors who know this is going on.
I think it's the system is what they're trying to get, and because.
But well, like they're not going to shut down like the college basketball system. Like, there's not much to it.
It's sort of sketch business.
I think that like they'll probably come up with some higher security, higher regular, or more rules just to kind of prevent this from happening again. I really didn't take it seriously until I saw that Rick Pitino is getting fired, because I think he's one of the great minds in college basketball.
Rick Pitino,
however,
is a dirty
he deserved
guy.
It. Like I looked into it after that, and he looks like Al Pacino, and he acts like one of Al Pacino in his mob movies.
Dude, he had prostitutes on campus.
He paid $3,000 for an abortion.
He's had prostitutes on campus. He's a bad guy.
You see a guy like Mike Krzyzewski or a lot of college basketball coaches who are just known for being good guys. Rick Pitino is kind of the opposite of that. He's smart, but he's really not a good guy at all.
He's a good coach, but awful guy. As we wrap up on Crunch Time, pretty short podcast today, but we're going to go through game predictions. Sizz, you're 13-4 on the year. I'm 12-5. Who you got winning this week? Louisville versus NC State Thursday game.
Versus Tennessee State?
NC State.
Oh, NC State. I'm going to go with NC State.
I'll go with Louisville. West Virginia versus TCU.
TCU.
I'll go with West Virginia. Washington State versus Oregon.
Washington State.
I'll go with Washington State as well. Stanford versus Utah.
Say it again.
Stanford versus Utah.
Stanford.
I'll go Stanford as well. Seattle Seahawks versus LA Rams.
Rams.
I'll go with the Seahawks. Carolina versus Detroit.
Detroit.
I'll go with Detroit. Green Bay versus Dallas.
Green Bay.
I'll go with Dallas. And baseball, Colorado Rockies versus Arizona D-backs.
D-backs.
I'll go with the D-backs as well. Thanks for listening to Crunch Time. Appreciate the love that we've been receiving. Wyatt Raybach and Joey Zanardi, appreciate the shout-outs.
Also,
follow us on Twitter, TheCrunch_Time.
TheCrunch_Time. Ask any questions you want. Be sure to specify who you're asking your question to, or just ask a general one, and one of us will answer it. We love interacting with our fans, and we're just trying to grow and become a bigger community here at Crunch Time. So thank you to all of our listeners. We'll see you next week.